Hello everyone, I'm about to review a video by David Wood, but before I do that, let me check the audio on YouTube to just make sure that everything is being recorded. There we go, it is. Fantastic. Okay, cool. I know this is not an hour that I usually do these streams, but some people have asked me to do it at this hour for people who prefer it at this hour. We'll see if that works out, okay? Anyways, but it's unbelievable. It's amazing to me how many people who seem to be claiming to be critics of Islam or religion as a whole get so butthurt when their dogmatic belief about everything that comes out of the mouth of anybody that's pro-Islam has to be wrong. That dogmatic belief, if it gets challenged, they just lose their mind without any arguments, without any patience to see what you even have to say. They just assume that you must be wrong because you have come up with a title that has determined that one of their deities or prophets has been wrong. In this case, David Wood. Like, I haven't even made a case yet. And just the cover of this has made a whole bunch of people angry when I was promoting this show. So, and they didn't know what I, like, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. You'll see. Or maybe I'm not. But the fact is that the mere claim that David Wood is wrong about, Ilhan Omar, like, the fact that claim itself is just blasphemous, apparently. Like, they can, like, okay, like, they're like, no, you're wrong. How dare you? And stuff like that. Well, do you even know what I'm going to talk about? Do you even know what the argument is? No? Then how the hell could you possibly know that I'm wrong? Like, maybe I'm wrong, but it just show how dogmatic, like, oh, a woman with a hijab said something, and somebody who's a critic of Islam is criticizing her. I don't need to know anything else. That I, like, apparently, you know, that's enough information for you to go at to decide that whose side you're on, right? Oh, I don't care about the arguments. This guy is a critic of Islam, so I'm going to take his side. And this woman is a hijabi, so obviously I'm going to be against whatever she says. That is absolutely insane. You know, this is like, just remember, the people who think that they are logical thinkers and they're critics of religion and, you know, like, intelligent or something like that, sometimes these are just labels. These are just labels. People don't abide by them, okay? They have no standards. It's just all dogma, even on the secular or atheist or critic of religion side. It's just all dogmatic, okay? Well, that's not all dogmatic. I just generalized. That's a hasty generalization, okay? I'm being overly emotional about this. I should calm down. Anyways, let's do a screen share so we see what David Wood has to say. See, I caught myself doing a logical fallacy. That's amazing. In real time. And then I congratulated myself for it. That's how it's done. Okay, I should stop. All right, let me actually play this and also play on my phone to see if the audio from the video is that I'm sharing coming up.
As Congresswoman Ilhan Omar would say, once again, some people did something in the name of some
Sorry, I was muted. So if you're listening to if you don't have any idea what just happened, because it's because you have the only access to the audio version of this and not the video version of this, that means that you're not a patron. Okay, so for people who are listening only to the audio version of this, I'm sharing a video and I'm going to describe to you what's happening on the video. But it would be nicer if you could come over and watch the video version of this. So link to our Patreon is in the description, right? So the music that you heard at the beginning was a bunch of Christians on a plane playing Christian songs to people that did not welcome it. Not all of them were welcoming it. Like, basically, this is just, you know, playing music, like forcing your Christian nonsense upon people who are not welcoming it. Or maybe they are welcoming it, but you didn't bother to ask. So this is obviously pure cringe and disgusting, and an indication of some the sense of entitlement that a lot of Christians or a lot of religious people as a whole have to you because they think like their God or their religion or their whatever nonsense is so good and holy that obviously it's in your benefit if they just force, like, they don't see that some people, they cannot even comprehend that this could be annoying to some people or could be something that people don't welcome. Because even if they are annoyed, even they are not welcome, they don't welcome it, it's they don't understand, they should, they are beneath, they are so ignorant that they don't understand that this is the way, that Jesus is the way or Allah is the way or whatever nonsense they believe in. So them forcing this upon you is for your own good. You just, like, if you are opposing this, you're just evil. You're part of your disgusting filth that is just, that just gets, you know, this has negative reaction to all things wholesome and all things beautiful and all things holy and all things spiritual. Okay, so this is like, it's not their fault. They're bringing you peace and joy, and you on a plane who's listening to this and you don't like it. You're just, this is just the inner demons within you just fighting this, the evil that is siding within your heart is just fighting this pureness that is coming at you with this music. And that's the indication. That's what they perceive it as, right? But us, the rest of us will perceive this as like people who are just, you know, we have this captive audience in this plane. They cannot get away. And if this was in any other form, other than a religious form, anybody would understand. Like, if somebody was reading the Communist Manifesto out loud to the entire plane, or like telling people how God is a lie or God is fake, and everybody couldn't get away with it. Like, imagine if an atheist on a plane was saying, like, God is fake, everybody, you shouldn't believe in God. People, like, this would be the most embarrassing things for, like, a lot of people would, like, oh my God, look at these cringy atheists. These people can't get away, and you're like spreading your atheist, you know, nonsense to these people that can't get away. And rightfully so. I would join them to accuse that, right? But when it comes from Christians, right? In a Christian country, they enjoy a sense of religious privilege, okay? They enjoy the sense of religious privilege, and the rest of us have to deal with that, okay? So because this is a Christian nation, this where this plane was taking off from, and not an Islamic one, this sense of entitlement does not exist among Muslims in this nation, relative to Christians, okay? I mean, Muslims, because they're part of the Abrahamic faith and their religion, they do have a sense of entitlement, even in Christian countries, relative to us atheists, okay? But less than Christians, okay? So it's very fair to compare what would the situation be on this plane if a Muslim was doing a prayer like this, okay? But, so Ilhan Omar came and made that comparison. But David Wood has a problem with that. Okay, so somebody in the live chat. So guys, we have patrons in here in the live chat. And if you are a patron, you could come and comment, just like Krista here. Krista is saying, I do not mind because they are happy. What is the problem with happy people? Okay, Krista, you completely misunderstand what I'm trying to say here, okay? You don't mind it. I probably wouldn't mind it either, okay? But you cannot guess whether people, you cannot force this upon people, okay? Honestly, sitting on a plane, if somebody came and played music, if the music is good, I'll be like, okay, fine, whatever, okay? Actually, I would mind. Never mind. I have my own headphones on. I have my own. No, actually, I changed my mind. I would mind it, okay? I have my phone, I have my audiobooks, I have my podcast, and I have my music. I get to choose what music I want to listen to. I pick my own music. This is the whole purpose of headphones, okay? These people playing this music would annoy the hell out of me because now I can't listen to my own stuff. So, Krista, if you enjoy it, good for you. So if somebody came and like, hey, do you mind if we play this music for you? You could give them the green light because you enjoy it, and they will play it and you enjoy it. But you can't decide this for other people. You can't decide this for other people. You can't be like, oh, I like it, so everybody needs to enjoy this because they're happy. Okay, so if somebody comes and reads like the Communist Manifesto on a plane, if they're happy about it, then everybody has to tolerate it because they're happy about it. So that doesn't make any sense, right? Oh, Krista is continuing. Krista is saying, I found this kind of thing disgusting for many years, but to be honest, I was just jealous that I was not happy. Okay, Krista, that's you. You get to decide what annoys you and what doesn't annoy you. But when you are But when you're forcing a certain content or music upon people, you need a green light for them. You cannot, you know, freedom of speech doesn't mean you're entitled to an audience, okay? Just because your personal preference is different from what we're discussing here, okay? The sense of entitlement of you having a captive audience that they can't get get away from you, that's what we're talking about here, okay? Anyways, let's see what David Wood has to say about this.
As Congresswoman Ilhan Omar would say, once again, some people did something in the name of some religion on a plane.
So what he's referring to here, which is another unfair thing about Ilhan Omar. By the way, a lot of people are going to think like, oh my God, Armin Taghiya, mask off. He's a pro-Islamic propagandist, blah, 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 blah. Even though, hey, never mind. I don't want to go over my resume here. But that was another unfair thing about Ilhan Omar, okay? Like, when people are talking, they're not always going to be able to. She was referencing 9/11. So this is what David Wood is referring to when Ilhan Omar was talking about 9/11. And she says some people did something and now all Muslims have to pay for it, okay? So she wasn't dismissing it as something small, okay? Sometimes we refer to some things as something, okay? Like, that doesn't mean that that by itself doesn't mean that we're dismissing it as something insignificant. It's such a stupid way. It's just such a, like, pathetic way of going after somebody, okay? Ilhan Omar, I have problems with her. The main problem I have with Ilhan Omar is the fact that she didn't vote for condemning the mass genocides on Armenians by Turkey, okay? She didn't. Most people voted in favor of considering a genocide, and she didn't. That was like the most disgusting thing she has ever done. That's the thing that I have the most problem with her, okay? But these issues that other people have, I think a lot of it is mostly about a woman with a hijab said something, and she's a U.S. politician, and that's the reason why they want to go after her, okay? I think most of it is that, okay? But so I'm not saying I like everything she does or I agree with everything she says, but I don't like this dogmatic criticizing of somebody like that. Anyways, let's see what David Wood says.
Some people did something in the name of some religion on a plane. One of the most irritating features of life in the 21st century is that people who are at the pinnacle of success, people who are massively popular, people who are healthy and wealthy and powerful, will nevertheless constantly portray themselves as victims of oppression, because if they can somehow keep their victim credentials up to date in spite of their success and fame and power, they can use victim status to block criticism when they say really stupid things or marry their brothers. Take the Borg Queen of Ingratitude, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar was born in Somalia. Her family fled Somalia during the Somali Civil War. She spent 4 years in a refugee camp in Kenya. Her family was granted asylum by the United States of America in 1995 when she was around 13 years old. She became a U.S. citizen when she was 17 years old. She graduated from North Dakota State University in 2011. And now she's a hijab-wearing U.S. congresswoman who spends her time blasting the United States as a genocidal, racist nation of hate mongers who oppress Muslims.
Okay, that's not... Okay, so if you actually listen to Ilhan Omar, that's not the only way she describes the United States. I mean, that's not really an accurate way of how she talks about the United States. Yes, she has a lot of problems with the United States, as everybody should about every goddamn country, okay? But she also is somebody who sees a lot of positives about America, okay? So she has problems with America, and she has a lot of negative things about America, okay? That doesn't mean it's not all, but that's her job. That's what you should be doing. As a politician, you should have problems with the country that you are trying to serve, because the whole point is to make it better. How could you make a country better if you don't have any issues with it, if you think there's no problems with it, okay? If you think there's no room for improvement, okay? So this is not a fair characterization. Do I think sometimes they go too far about the way they describe how bad the United States is? Absolutely. Absolutely she does. And absolutely a lot of people on the left do, okay? Not all all of them, but a lot of them do. Does she also have something, things that she likes about the United States? Of course she does. She's a U.S. politician. Okay, she has also things that she likes about the United States, and she's proud of the United States, and she's proud to be American. Okay, but this idea of, this is so disgusting, I think, in my opinion, to kind of suggest that somebody, because they come from somewhere else and now they have been benefited a lot for being American to the point of being a politician, should they not see the faults of America? That's her job. She has been elected to improve United States. Okay, that her entire job should depend on finding faults with the country and try to make them better. That's the job description. So what, like the whole thing of holding somebody's past against them to like what, so she should shut it. Kind of suggests that because she comes from a place that was a lot less, and now she's in a better position, right, relative to other politicians, she should be more like, because she needs to be grateful, she should mind her tongue and hold back when she sees injustice. Should she be comparing the injustice with the injustice in Somalia? And as long as the injustice in America doesn't measure up to the injustice in Somalia, as long as it's less, they should be like, okay, well, at least in Somalia, things are worse, so I shouldn't like talk about this. Well, guess what? She's not a politician in Somalia. She's a politician in America. It doesn't matter if the injustice in America is like, the injustice in America could sometimes even be more relative to other places because of what America does around the world. Sometimes it's a lot better, okay? It depends on what we're talking about. But even if the injustice in the United States was all less than what we had in Somalia, okay? Let's say it's all across the board. Well, that's not in part of her job description. Her job description is not to fix Somalia, okay? So I don't know what this got to do. Like, are you going to hold her ethnicity and her background against her all the time? It doesn't make any sense.
She openly and freely supports the BDS movement against Israel. She openly and freely calls for the abolition of U.S. immigration.
Openly and freely. Okay, so for example, I'm against the BDS because I think BDS has a lot of anti-Semitic elements in it. Okay, so personally, I'm not for the BDS. Okay, but when you say she openly supports the BDS, as opposed to what is she supposed to do? Like, that's her view, and I'm against her view. But as a politician, that's a position she has, and she could advocate for it, and she should be. She is like openly and free. Like, you're like, she like, what is that? What is the point of adding openly and freely? Like, as opposed to what? Do you want her to be anti-BDS? Oh, like maybe. Oh, so you're giving a list of things that she should be grateful for because she's allowed to be freely anti-BDS?
Ration and custom.
Or are you just poisoning the well? Is this just poisoning the well?
Enforcement. She openly and freely calls for defunding and abolishing police.
Okay, but none of this has anything to do with the argument and the points that Ilhan Omar is going to bring up about this flight. So why do you bring these up? This is just poisoning the well.
Now, I am not one of these guys who says, well, if you're going to criticize the United States, then go somewhere else. This is the United States of America, a country that was literally founded on the idea that people have the right to criticize other people, policies, government officials, and so on, and even to overthrow oppressive governments.
Imagine this being the standard, okay? So the standard is like, okay, congratulations, David Wood. You're somebody that thinks Ilhan Omar has the right to criticize the government. This is something that we need to hand out medals and cookies for. Okay, as opposed to like, oh, okay, I'm not one of those people that think that she legally needs to be stopped from criticizing the government. Like, is that the bar that we have right now? Congratulations to David Wood and his probably most of his audience that they're above this level. But you're still below the level, okay, to think that it's wrong for somebody that you have to judge someone's criticism of the country that they're a citizen of based on the criteria that you brought up at the beginning, which is say like the ingratitude, like you're saying her criticism shows her indicates her ingratitude. So the fact that you're holding her past as against her to think that she needs to show some gratitude, it would be better if she shows some gratitude and not criticize the United States, right? You're still way below the standard that I think should be acceptable, you know. Like, for example, like I could be like, say David Wood, like come up with the most baseless logical arguments against David Wood's points here, but say, well, at least I think like he has the right to say it. Well, whoopee-doo, like, is that a like, imagine if I had the worst arguments against David Wood, right? The worst arguments, okay? But then I come out and say, well, even with all these arguments against David Wood, I still think David Wood has the right to make these points. What am I saying? I'm saying, yeah, he has the right. So the police shouldn't be arresting him for saying these things, because that's what having the right means. Like, would you all of a sudden not think like all these bad arguments that I have against David Wood, would you, you know, wash them off and like be like, oh, okay, Armin, congratulations. Okay, I'm going to completely now ignore all these embarrassingly bad arguments that you had against David Wood, but congratulate you for thinking that he shouldn't be arrested for his arguments. All right, like, this is just a way. So be mindful of this, because this is usually just a way for you to congratulate somebody for saying something that is absolutely worthless.
Ilhan Omar is a U.S. citizen, and she can complain about her country, the United States, all she wants without...
Wow, thank you so much. Amazing. We didn't know that. We just discovered that Ilhan Omar should not be arrested for her comments.
Any obligation to go back to that war-torn, Sharia-compliant hellhole she was born in.
Okay, I take that back. There are a whole bunch of people in his audience that would tell her that she has to go back, okay? Go back, as if, like, it's amazing how a lot of people who want to defend the United States completely ignore the most base, all the fundamental views that is all that is founded on. Like, oh, you don't like this country, go back. You have go back to your own, you know, asshole country or whatever, right? So her citizenship is worth nothing then, right? So U.S. citizenship is worth nothing. So great job. You know, just you're completely debasing everything that your country is founded upon.
With that said, there is something exceedingly odd about a person being taken from a refugee camp in Africa to the United States, where she goes to school, goes to college, and is eventually elected to the U.S. House of Representatives, and then claiming to be oppressed by the evil, racist, genocidal country that took her entire family in and then elected her to make its laws.
I mean, well, let's see if she is actually making a claim that she's oppressed, because we'll see if she does, then I will deal with it there, right? But before we get to what Ilhan Omar said, because she might have said something that's wrong, and I will criticize her if she's done so. But United States has a lot of things that is good about it and a lot of things that are bad about it, right? So the fact that in the United States it's possible for somebody like Ilhan Omar to become a politician, that's something amazing about the United States, okay? But United States is also a country that has supported and funded a country like Saudi Arabia to oppress innocent civilians in a country like Yemen. Right? United States is a country that is responsible for starvations of hundreds of thousands of children in a country like Iraq. United States is also a country that has devastated a country like Cambodia, okay? And many countries in Latin America. Just because you personally somebody like Ilhan Omar have benefited from the United States, right? That doesn't mean that you shouldn't be pointing out all of these things. Yes, United States is also a country that is that the entire world benefits from because of the science and technology that comes out of the United States has lifted a lot of people out of poverty all around the world, right? So you have to also consider that, right? So United States does a lot of harm. And you can't ignore that. You should criticize that. United States does a lot of good, right? Science and technology. The whole world, especially a lot of poor people, benefit from the science and technology that comes out of United States. Whenever there's a disease, whenever there is a flood, or any other natural disaster, okay? United States is the first country to show up, the country that does the most to lift people up, and the country that leaves the last, okay? Like every single pandemic that happens, it's a lot of funding from the United States that helps us stop it. So all of these are true. They don't like, but you can't ignore the bad. And you can't, as a politician, right? You have to target the bad. You have to see the bad and you have to go after the bad. Okay. So when Ilhan Omar comes and says, like, yeah, the United States is oppressing, is taking part in oppressing, being responsible for the greatest humanitarian crisis of all time in Yemen. I'm like, yes, Ilhan Omar, I agree with you. United States is, you know, is one of the main culprits in this greatest humanitarian crisis of all time in Yemen, right? And also, I criticize Ilhan Omar when she ignores previous, you know, acknowledging a genocide that happened against Armenians, because denying genocides that have happened paves the way for more people to do this in the future. So recognizing genocides that happened in the past, that's why I criticize it. Okay, these are not contradictory points of view. Okay, you could be anti-US and pro-US at the same time, and you could criticize Ilhan Omar and defend her at the same time. But I fail to see how you could do that if you are this dogmatic about anybody that is wearing a hijab. Like, let me see. Hold on. Let's see if David Wood actually has a good point here or not.
There's something strange about a hijab-wearing Muslim immigrant.
Let's see, hijab-wearing. Like, I wasn't strawmanning David Wood, other people like this, when I say that the hijab-wearing is something that they take issue with, okay? Let me steelman him, okay? So maybe, the hijab wearing, okay, yeah, let me actually be charitable to David, but okay, so what he's saying about hijab wearing is that a country like United States is not holding hijab against you, and you can still become a politician, and that's incredible, okay? But again, that tells a lot about the person that is speaking. The fact that they think that's such a positive, like, for me, not holding someone's hijab against them when you're giving them a job is given, all right? I think it should be given for everybody, right? But the fact that you think you have done something nice for somebody, or like have been charitable to them to let them become a politician, even though they're a hijabi, to me says a lot about the person who's speaking
in Congress, constantly complaining about being a victim of oppression. But again, if you can twist.
Okay, here's the thing. Let me see what actually Ilhan Omar says, okay? Because if she's claiming that she's the victim of oppression, then I'll give it to you. That's a lot of that's a little bit like, oh my God, I'm the victim. Okay, so, but if you're speaking about other Muslims who are oppressed, then nothing that David Wood is saying stands here, okay? I don't know. I don't remember exactly what Ilhan Omar said. Let's see what she said. Okay, for example, let me tell you, right? I try to clarify that when I'm talking about atheists being victimized and oppressed around the world, okay, I'm not talking about me, okay? I'm talking about other atheists, because I'm not like, oh, poor me. I'm doing fine. Everything is fantastic, okay? My life is great. And I haven't been oppressed because of my atheism, okay? I mean, well, not much. Well, yeah. I mean, even if before there were some issues, but not anymore, okay? I'm fine. I'm very fine, okay? No, there's no issue, okay? I'm talking about is the right word, about other atheists and about other ex-Muslims, about other apostates around the world who they are the victims. So I'm not participating in, like, the victimhood narrative, like, oh, poor me, okay? So that's what I'm doing, okay? So Ilhan Omar herself, her life is pretty good, okay? So she shouldn't be, if she wants to speak about, okay? Because I don't want to act like I am the representative of atheists, and Ilhan Omar shouldn't like act like she's like the representative of Muslims, right? So about other Muslims, she shouldn't insert herself and be like, poor me. She shouldn't do that because her life is fine, okay? So let's see if, you know, that's what's happening here or not. Hold on, how's my audio? Let me double check. Testing. Okay, audio's fine. All right, let's continue.
Complaining about being a victim of oppression. But again, if you can twist anything, any event, any story into evidence of your oppression, you can keep your victim badge and use it to block criticism. Newsweek reports, a video of Christians singing worship songs aboard an airplane amassed more than 32 million views after Representative Ilhan Omar questioned if Muslims would receive the same treatment. The video shows a man playing guitar and walking through the plane's aisle while singing a Christian worship song on a crowded plane. Meanwhile, some passengers joined in while others sat in silence. The video quickly divided the internet. What doesn't divide the internet in 2022? Just think, if the whole world hadn't gone insane, what could reasonably be said about a clip of Christians singing on a plane? On one side, you could say,
okay, this is for people who are watching the listening to the audio version of this, which again, I recommend you become a patron and watch the video version, link in the description, right? So this part is not the article anymore. So when he ended and said the video quickly divided the internet, the rest is now David Wood himself.
Clip of Christians singing on a plane. On one side, you could say, clip of Christians gone insane. Internet in 2022. Divided the internet.
Okay, so divided the internet from here is now David Wood.
What doesn't divide the internet in 2022? Just think, if the whole world hadn't gone insane, what could reasonably be said about a clip of Christians singing on a plane? On one side, you could say, hey, that's annoying. They shouldn't be singing on a plane. The flight attendant should tell them to shut up.
And no, it's not just that. So this is what religious people don't understand, okay? Even if the song is not annoying, okay? Even if it's a beautiful song that everybody could enjoy, that's, you're missing the entire point. And I think this is what a lot of religious people are so blind to, okay? And I think they will lose that blindness as soon as the song was satanic, okay? Like, imagine if we had a whole bunch of Satanists and came and sang a song to everybody on a plane, okay? Even if the song was not annoying, even if the song was the most beautiful thing that you ever heard in your entire life, I think the Christians would have an issue with not being able to get away from the song. I think then all of a sudden they would understand the sense of entitlement that these Satanists have to the audience that cannot get away from their song. They would all of a sudden get it, like, oh my God, I get it now, okay? But they do not get it when they're singing about Jesus.
And on the other side, you could say, come on, it's Easter. They're not hurting anyone. Let the Christians have fun and sing.
Okay, the other side would be insane. I can't use the R word. The other side would be moronic to say that, okay? The other side would be wrong. The other side need to get a clue, okay? The other side who say, like, oh, it's Easter, let them, they're not hurting anybody, okay? All right, well, this is, you don't understand. If you, this sense of entitlement is how everything becomes de facto religious around, you know, in society. This whole idea of, like, having a sense of privilege for religious people and they get away with things that other people don't, that needs to go away. It's not about the song. It's about the underlying thought process that makes you think that you get to do this and other people don't. Okay? So the song, it's not just about not letting them sing. It's about people understanding how Christians in a Christian country or how Muslims in a Muslim country or how Hindus in a Hindu country are so blind to the fact that other people have to put up with their nonsense and they can't do anything about it. And they think that they're entitled to everybody. And that's how everything, and they have, like, the fact that, like, oh, come on, it's Easter. Come on. The fact that you say, come on, it's Easter, shows the fact that you're not aware, like, you as Christian, you have a day for you in this country that atheists and Satanists and other people don't get to have de facto days like this, right? Maybe, okay, so to make that fair, we have an atheist day now, okay? We have atheist day is March 23rd. So you're like, oh, come on, it's Easter. They're not hurting anybody. All right, on March 23rd, what happens if we go on planes and tell people, like somebody comes and tells people that let go of God, God is stupid, God is fake, okay? What about that? Would Christians not all of a sudden understand that, well, I don't want to listen to this? Or even if you do want to listen to this, you think maybe they should have asked for my permission before they played it. right? Let's have a day for Satanists. How about that? I'm pretty sure Christians would not just because it would be a day of Satanism. I'm pretty sure they would not be enjoying all of a sudden this song being forced upon them. It's only Christianity in Christian countries where people are like, come on, you're being too anti-religious now. Come on. You're edgy atheism. Oh my God, this is Reddit atheism, edgy atheism. This is too far. You know, I understand some atheists have issues with religion and they're polite and talk intellectual, but you guys, you're just too radical. You're just being too edgy now. And this is how you submit, right, to religion being the de facto culture in society. All right, let me continue.
That's it. That's all that can reasonably be said. But we're in 2022, where everything that happens is instantly sent to the munitions factory and weaponized for people's political agendas.
Excuse me, David Wood. Isn't that what you are doing as well? Like, I mean, I don't understand. You're like, oh my God, the internet is so divided. They're making this music into like something to fight over. Well, yeah. And you are doing this. First of all, it's 2022 and people are doing this. I'm sure before they used to burn people alive for disagreement, and now they're making videos about it. First of all, so two things about this. David Wood, you're participating in the same thing that you're criticizing other people for. Also, 2022 is fantastic, okay? I'd rather live in 2022 where this goes viral on the internet and people get divided over it on Twitter, rather than burning each other at the stake, okay? So this is great. I like this. This is improvement. So you're like, oh my God, it's 2022, as if things are getting worse. No, things are getting better. Thank you very much. Keep getting divided over hashtags. I'd rather people fight over Twitter rather than, you know, anyways.
Omar, one of three Muslims currently...
All right, so now for people who are just listening, now when David Bullock is speaking, he's now continuing to read the next paragraph of the article.
For people's political agendas.
Wait, Omar. Yeah.
Omar, yeah. One of three Muslims currently serving in Congress, weighed in on the video, attempting to draw a comparison to the way Muslims would be treated if they disrupted a flight to worship. Really? The Christians disrupted the flight?
Yes, they did. Disrupt. Okay. They disrupted. I don't know. Okay. Why do you like, really? The Christians disrupted? What? Okay. What is disrupt? Let me see. Maybe not. Disrupt means interrupt an event, activity, or process by causing a disturbance or problem. Okay. So that one they didn't disrupt the flight. What about this one? Drastically alter or destroy the structure of. Okay. So yeah, they didn't disrupt the flight, but they disrupted the people in the flight. Okay. This is very pedantic, though.
I think my family...
Okay, so this is now...
Really? The Christians disrupted the flight?
Okay, fine. If you want to be so pedantic, they didn't disrupt the flight, okay? They just disrupted the people's doing their own business on the flight.
I think my family...
So this is what Ilhan Omar is saying now, okay? I think my family
and I should have a prayer session next time I am on a plane. How do you think it will end?
Okay, so this is nonsense, okay? Ilhan Omar, this, I agree that this part is nonsense, okay? So far I was against a lot of things that David Wood said. I wish Ilhan Omar was not inserting herself in this criticism, okay? She could have said a Muslim family, okay? I mean, you're a congresswoman, okay? I'm pretty sure nobody is going to, you, if you want to do a prayer session on a plane. Wait. Okay, no, never mind. Yes, Ilhan Omar, she actually would get a bigger backlash than an average Muslim family, okay? But again, don't make it about yourself. And that's my recommendation. Just say like another family. Okay, so I was thinking that I was just going to, I just changed my mind right here, okay? Because I was going to think that as a congresswoman, you are immune to any backlash on the plane, right? Like nobody's going to like come attack you because, you know, if you're sitting in your seat and you're all of a sudden having a Muslim prayer, I don't think there would be an issue on the plane, okay? But the backlash on the media and the social media would have been enormous, okay? People would be videoing that crap and they're sharing it, and people would be like, oh my God, this is the Islamization of our airways or whatever. I don't know what you're going to say. airplanes and stuff like that. And a lot of right-leaning people would lose their mind, okay? Especially because this is a politician, and you're like, oh my God, they're Sharia law is now taking the airs. Okay, you're gonna bring the Khalifa to the airways, okay? Whatever. But so this is the backlash would have been huge. So she's right, okay? The backlash would have been huge, okay? So if when she's saying, how do you think when Ilhan Omar saying when she's saying how do you think it will end? If she's suggesting something would happen on the flight, I don't think she's right. But if she's saying the backlash would have been huge, I think that's correct, okay? But again, I still don't agree with her talking about herself as if boo-hoo-hoo, boo like me, like, oh, I can't pray on a plane, okay? And these Christians can, okay? It would have been better if she said, so what she actually said is saying, I think my family and I should have a prayer session next time on a plane. How do you think it will end? I think she should have said, what would have happened if another Muslim family was doing a prayer like this on a plane? I think that would have been better, okay? To make it less of a boo-hoo, look at me kind of victimhood narrative.
The Minnesota Democrat wrote, well...
So I'm agreeing a little bit with David Wood on the victimhood narrative part, okay? Because, you know, your life is good. You're a congresswoman. You're doing fine. You shouldn't be complaining that much. You could complain about other people, but not about yourself. You could complain about other people's lives being bad.
Plain. How do you think it will end? The Minnesota Democrat wrote. Well, Congresswoman Omar, we all know what would happen if you and your family members who were given asylum by the United States of America prayed on a plane. All the other passengers would gather around you and beat you, and they'd push you right out the door at 30,000 feet because that's how Muslims are treated in the United States, isn't it, Congress?
No, she didn't say that, okay? This is such immature and weak, pathetic comeback by David Bohr, okay? Did Ilhan Omar say any of these things? Did Ilhan Omar said, like, if I pray on a plane, the passengers on a plane would attack me, beat me, and throw me out of the plane? Like, I don't even know if she was talking about what would happen on the plane or maybe after. So this is what people do when they can't, like, just address what you're seeing. Why would you have to make it a million times more ridiculous than what it is? Like, see, I criticize Ilhan Omar based on what she said. I was like, I looked at this, I'm like, okay, I don't like it. Even if she has a point, even if the backlash would have been huge, your life is fine. You don't need to talk about yourself. Talk about, as a politician, talk about other people. Talk about what other people have to deal with. Don't insert yourself all the time, okay? That's what I'm suggesting, okay? And I didn't have to add to what she's saying to ridicule her points, right? But what David Wood did here is that she took what she's saying and she made it 100 times more ridiculous and then attacked the 100 times more ridiculous argument that she didn't make. What's the point of that? Who benefits from this line of reasoning?
First woman. Just like the Muslims who took over Times Square to pray, they're so oppressed in America that they're forced to pray in Times Square.
Okay, so now we're looking for people who are just listening to the audio version of this. Again, I recommend you become a patron, link in the description, so you could be here with me while live when we're watching this video with each other. And then if you're here live with us, you could also comment on the live chat so I could read your comments. So if you disagree with me, I could read your disagreements, right? But what we're looking at is a lot of Muslims on Times Square praying. And apparently this is a sign. So they had, like, I don't know, Islamic prayer in Times Square or whatever. Okay. And apparently this is a sign that Muslims are not oppressed or they have it completely well and nobody has any issues with Muslims in the United States. Is that, like, okay, I don't want to strawman David Wood, okay? Is that what is being suggested here? So is the suggestion here, because United States is a country where Muslims have been allowed to pray in Times Square, that means that if a Muslim prayed on a plane the way those Christians prayed on a plane. Okay, I'm not talking you sitting on your plane and you're just putting your hands up and say, Allah, you know, please like make this a safe flight. Okay, I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about like those Christians getting out of your seat, starting like a, I don't know, like as if you're a band and getting, I don't know, whatever. Okay, you're Muslim, you don't have, you're not going to use any musical instruments or anything. But imagine if you just started singing in Arabic or whatever, well, not singing, you're praying in Arabic, like, a, you know, a, you just started reciting a surah in the Quran, like a whole bunch of you together, just like those Christians, loud for and directed at the entire, everybody at the plane. Okay, you're getting up and it's just a, the sound is picking up, the whole plane is listening to it. Okay, not like, you know, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, whatever, just, you know, on your seat, nothing like that. Okay, the everybody on the plane for just has to listen to you, to your whole crew growing through whatever prayer you're going to. Okay, imagine if that happened, a whole bunch of Muslims did that. Okay, I think people would have an issue. I think I'm guessing people would have an issue with that, and I think they would have a bigger issue with that than when Christians do it. Okay, I think they would have a big, and I think a lot of people would defend. To be fair, I think a lot of people would also come and defend them. Okay, but a lot of people, a lot more people would be like, okay, this is not what? No, okay, the backlash would have been bigger, especially from a whole bunch of right-leaning people. Okay, it would have been huge. I don't know why you think Muslims praying in Times Square means that backlash would not, like, do you think that this is like means that because Muslims are praying in Times Square, that nobody has issues with Muslims in the United States? Is that your line of reasoning? Because what? How? Why can't both of these be true? Like, explain to me how both of these cannot be true at the same time. Why can't the United States be a country where there are cities where Muslims are given a space to pray at Friday in Times Square, and at the same time be a place where if Muslims all of a sudden forced their prayer upon an entire plane, there would be a huge backlash against it? How do these two things cannot be true at the same time? Like, again, the reasoning here is so weak and pathetic, I think.
Such an intolerant place.
Yeah, okay, such an intolerant place. Like, oh yeah, United States, such an intolerant place. Look, we let Muslims pray in Times Square. As if this represents the entirety of the attitude of the United States about Muslims. Is this the line of reasoning that we're dealing with? I can't, like, imagine, and look, this is a channel, David Wood, this is the line of reasoning that is accepted by so many people as blind followers of this man. It's unbelievable.
By the way, this flight wasn't even in the U.S. It was in Europe. I don't know all the details, but I've seen a bunch of people.
Okay, Europe, in a Christian country again. So wait, so why are you? Oh my God, it's in Europe and you're talking about Times Square? Then how that makes it even less related?
This flight wasn't anywhere. Right? Such an intolerant place. By the way, this flight wasn't even in the U.S. It was in Europe. I don't.
Okay, then why are we bringing Times Square then?
Know all the details, but I've seen a bunch of people claiming that this was a chartered flight. The flight was reserved by a Christian ministry. There is a guy in the video who looks annoyed by the singing, so I don't know what the situation is. The question is, no. How do you...
Okay, there are a whole bunch of missionaries here. The whole flight is not reserved. Obviously, there's a whole bunch of annoyed people on the plane. So just because reserved, as in the same way where I book a seat on a plane, because I'm pretty sure all these this one guy here is not very happy about it. Okay, so there's like, yeah, these are not,
look,
all of these
this.
Are missionaries. Like, these are not missionaries. This girl is a missionary, this guy is a missionary. There's some people are happy about it and some people who don't seem to be at all happy about the song. Okay, so the idea of this whole flight, this entire flight, was booked by a missionary. Like, look, this entire, I'm pretty sure more people other than just these two would have been standing up and singing if this entire flight was a missionary flight.
And see something about Muslims being a
this guy sounds so annoyed
in the West. The tweet quickly divided the internet, drawing backlash from many on the right.
Okay, if the flight, like, let's say for example, if a flight is booked entirely by missionaries, right, which is this doesn't seem to have been the case, okay? And you're all like together, then okay, do whatever the hell you want, okay? It's your flight, okay? But obviously, even if there's one person that is not okay with this, you know, you don't have a right to just force your material on them, okay? So, anyways,
the tweet quickly divided the internet, drawing backlash from many on the right, while others came to her defense. The debate over the tweet caused the congresswoman to trend on Twitter Monday morning. Whatever keeps you trending keeps you relevant, am I right? Isn't it amazing that...
Yeah, and? I don't know, is that a criticism or what is that? Is that just a comment? I mean, people talk about you and you become relevant? I don't understand. Like, are you saying that she's just trying to remain relevant? I mean, yeah, that is the job of a politician. The job of a politician is to get people to pay attention to things, otherwise called trending. So I don't understand. Is that criticism or just an additional comment there?
That this is what causes a backlash and a defense and a debate and a trend in 2022? Defense. Anyway. Isn't it amazing that this is what causes a backlash and a defense and a debate and a trend in 2022?
As opposed to what? As opposed to throughout history, what do you think happened throughout history? These discussions, this is, shows such a lack of self-awareness, okay? Yeah, okay, so imagine this, okay? It shows the entitlement that Christians have. Like, oh my God, I can't believe this causes a backlash in 2022. You know why it didn't used to cause a backlash throughout history? Because you used to kill us. Well, you're not you specifically, but Christians. Because we didn't get, like, people like us, okay, throughout history, didn't get to criticize people like you, right? For most of history. So, yeah. I mean, that's why now I'm sure you're not used to the backlash, okay? But once we don't get threatened to be burned alive or beheaded, depending on the brand of religion, then you get backlashes. I mean, and you're gonna get more backlashes. Maybe get used to it, okay? But our backlashes are just like we make videos about it and tweet about it and blah blah blah. But we're not going to go to the position where we like, we're not, you know, your people back then, their backlashes used to be a lot more aggressive, okay? So I don't know why you keep complaining about how bad this reaction is in 2022. This is far better than what it was before.
I just have to point out to everyone, if we have such shockingly comfortable lives that we get to sit around attacking each other on Twitter over a video of Christians singing a song on a plane, we've got it pretty good by historical standards.
Yeah, and you know how we keep it good? By making sure that the Christians stay in their place, right? Because the reason why we have it this good is because we want to make sure that dogmatic beliefs like Islam or Christianity or Hinduism or communism or anything like that or fascism get to feel the sense of entitlement that they have, because if they keep it, they're going to insert themselves everywhere, right? And that sense of entitlement that makes them insert themselves everywhere and eventually into our politics will make this life, this safe and prosperous life that we have, go back to the dark ages, okay? So, yeah, David Wood, if we get complain about these things, it shows that we have made it to a place where it's much better than before. And it will continue to get better if we keep complaining about people like this on a plane and everywhere else that they want to insert themselves, okay? It's the complaint. You're like, oh my God, these people, they're complaining about these things even though our lives are so much better right now. Guess how it became better? It was because of the complaining. It was because people just didn't sit around and just be like, oh, this is fine, because it wasn't fine, okay? So yeah, it is better. I agree. And you know, people like me who complained against people like you with crappy ideas like you, those are the people who made it better.
When I see something like this, I get to make a video and post it on YouTube. Seems like we've got it pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Because Christianity is like losing, and Islam is losing, and Hinduism is losing. That's why we have it so good.
Wouldn't it be nice if, instead of constantly, endlessly complaining and whining and bickering over...
Whining and complaining and bickering is good, because we're finding problems and we're complaining about it. Complain all you want. Whine all you want. This is how things got to be the way they are.
Any little detail we happen to disagree about, we all sat back for just a few minutes and realized how much we have to be grateful for.
I'm sorry, David Wood. Aren't you right now making a video complaining about Ilhan Omar's tweet? Like, what? Like, you're like, oh my God, people are complaining. Wouldn't it be great if they realize how good things are and just sat back and didn't complain? Isn't the point of your video? Like, what is the title? Yeah, your title of the video is Ilhan Omar Blasts America After Christians Sing on a Plane. Your complaint, your video is doing exactly what you're telling us not to do.
If you really want to make a difference in the 21st century, ladies and gentlemen, start by developing a sense of gratitude.
Then why are you complaining? Why are you complaining? Is your life like, oh my God, let me actually try this, okay? David Wood, why are you not you're grateful? Where is your sense of gratitude? Is like a congresswoman making a tweet about some Christians on a plane? Is that really the end of the world? Is it really worth like you making a video about it and complaining about this congresswoman? Wouldn't it be just great if instead of you making this video, you were just set back and just be grateful about the life that you have? Like, see, it works both ways.
That will impact every other area of your life and soon the lives of people around you.
Okay, we'll take your advice.
Some accused her.
Okay, so now we're ending. So now David Wood is reading the next part of the article.
Of attacking Christians in the tweet. Ilhan Omar asks how people would react if her Muslim family sang their worship songs on a plane. I don't know, but it's got to be better than the reaction to Christian worship in her home country of Somalia, where Christians are slaughtered for praying in public, wrote conservative commentator Ali Beth Stuckey.
I don't understand. Okay, like, so she can't complain about anything that is better than Somalia because she was born in Somalia? She cannot complain about anything. Anything that is better than Somalia is an area that she can't go into. So wait, does that apply to me as well? Because I was born in Iran. So if I get a, you know, parking ticket, right? And I think like, what am I getting a parking ticket? I paid for the meter, right? I paid for the meter. Why am I getting a parking ticket? No, Armin, you were born in Iran. You don't get to complain that you got a ticket unjustifiably, because in Iran you would have been hanged to death because you're an ex-Muslim. So just accept this parking ticket and pay it. Like, what is this standard? Like, what is this coming from? She's an American citizen. Not only that, she's an American politician. It's part of her job description to find problems and complain about it and try to fix it. Uh-huh. What? Like, okay. She was, what is her being born in Somalia got to do with anything?
Let's read a few more responses to Congresswoman Omar's tweet. So she tweeted, I think my family and I should have a prayer session next time I am on a plane. How do you think it will end? And the response is, this was a charter flight for volunteers serving the refugees from Ukraine. Did you know that?
The entire flight was not for that. There were volunteers. Okay. If the entire flight was for that, that's amazing. Because, wait. This was a charter flight for volunteers. Oh, okay. No, so they're not. Okay, no. Okay, accept. Okay. So this is a charter flight for volunteers. So it's not all missionaries then. They are just volunteers serving the refugees from Ukraine. Okay, so if I thought somebody was claiming that these are all missionaries or all Christians or something. So they're not. So if that's the case, then they're forcing their Christian nonsense upon people who don't want to hear it. A charter flight for volunteers serving refugees includes anybody, not just missionaries. There could be atheists on that plane. There could be Muslims on that plane. So you're forcing your Christian nonsense upon people who don't want to hear it. So what is this? How does this response make any sense? So this person is saying this was a charter flight for volunteers serving the refugee from Ukraine. Did you know that? Okay. And oh my God, this got more than a thousand likes on Twitter. How does this make Ilhan Omar's tweet any less relevant? Can somebody explain this to me? It doesn't say they're all missionaries and they were all happy with the song.
I just spent a...
Wait, really? You're not going to explain how this tweet makes it is a good criticism of Ilhan Omar? How is them being all volunteers for Ukraine makes any difference? Am I not just getting it? Because David Wood is not explaining how this tweet... David Wood is highlighting this tweet and not explaining how this makes the criticism of these Christians who are forcing their song upon other people less of an issue. Why is this being highlighted? And why is it getting more than 1,000 likes? I think... Oh, okay. I might be like... I don't know if this is right. I'm just asking this question, okay? Do people think when they hear volunteers, they think do-gooders, and they just can exchange that with Christian? Is it possible? I mean, I'm not claiming this, okay? I'm just asking. Please correct me or not. Is it possible that a lot of people look at this tweet, the tweet that says this was a charter flight for volunteers serving the refugees from Ukraine? And as a Christian, because the word volunteer and do-gooder and Christian is just you just switch that in your mind interchangeably, you just assume like, oh my God, this was a flight of all just Christians. Is that what people think? Because if that's the reason why this tweet got a lot of likes, and if that's the reason why David Wood is highlighting it, because people just assume that that means the entire flight was just Christians, that would be amazing if that's the reason. Okay, but let's continue. Guys, if I'm right about it, I might be wrong about this, but if I'm right about this, I just hit the nail, like, you know, I just decoded this, okay? So,
serving the refugees from Ukraine. Did you know that?
Wow.
I just spent a week volunteering at the train station in Tremesil, Poland.
This is another tweet.
Right across from the Ukrainian border, and I saw the same people there. They were playing to Ukrainian refugees stuck waiting for hours for transportation who just fled from the bombing of Kharkiv and Mariupol.
And what? How is this a comeback to the fact that these people have no right to force their music upon people who don't want to hear it? I don't understand. What is the point you're making? Oh my God, that was it? These are the reactions, and they're all like, these tweets are getting thousands of likes. Okay, this third tweet better be good.
By Etihad, Qatar, Emirates, and Mariupol.
Okay, third tweet.
I fly Etihad, Qatar, Emirates, and they have the prayer section in the back, and they have the beacon map facing to Mecca. I have no problem with it. It's culture from the national carrier's origin. In the U.S., most are offended by religion despite claiming any religion as its own.
Okay, let's dissect this tweet because that was a whole bunch of nonsense. Okay, so this person flies on an Emirati flight, which is okay. So from Qatar, he flies on a flight that goes through Islamic countries. And because their tradition is Islamic, they have a section on a plane at the end of the plane. Where you could go pray as a Muslim, which has a beacon map for facing to Mecca, which shows to Muslims which direction they should pray to, okay? And he says, I have no problem with it. It's a culture from the national carrier's origin, okay? First of all, I have no problem with it. It's such a useless comment. Who are you? Are you like, okay, you have no problem with it. Does that mean it's okay? Like, guys, like, there's certain music I enjoy, okay? You all have to listen to it now. Everybody should listen to it now, okay? Right now. Be like, if you guys like, what is this? I don't want to listen to this Armin. Like, well, I don't have any problem with it. What does that mean? I don't have any problem with it. You are not God. Just because you have the statement, I have no problem with it, is such a useless phrase, like such a useless statement. Like, well, other people might have a problem with it. Like, what, like, was the whole world waiting to see if they're bothering you specifically? And now that you specifically don't have a problem with it, the rest of the world could rest assured that you person, what is your Twitter ID? @LatIII1976. The rest of the world can now rest assured that the username Twitter, LatIII1976, is not bothered by this issue. So no, what, you don't need to ask anybody else. This person is okay with it. It's not bothering them. So good. Everybody go home. Okay? What does this mean? Okay, I have no problem with it. Nobody, I don't care about you. Okay? And other people shouldn't care about you either. Right? As long as you don't get a green light from everybody, that means some people could have an issue with it, and you shouldn't feel entitled to just force this upon people. Right? So that's the first part of this tweet that I want to address, right? Also, I have a problem with it. Okay? You're an international flight, and you're dedicating the plane, a section of a plane, to prayer, to a prayer room. Okay? You know how important each part of the plane is? Like, it's like very expensive real estate, okay? It's like every millimeter of these planes are supposed to be used for the most for something that gives you the most utility, because it's precious space. Okay, the fact in Islam, by the way, you're allowed, if you can't pray on the ground, you could just pray on your seat if there's no other space. Okay, you're not going to be doing, there's no sin associated with that. If there's no place for you to sin, you could just sit, do your prayer sitting down. Okay, so the fact that this is just done for the, this shows how much religious privilege Islam has in Islamic countries, that such expensive space is dedicated to just Islamic prayer. You know what I mean? That's just like, you don't get that as an atheist or a Satanist or anything else. Okay, again, this, we're addressing the sense of it. You're like, oh my God, we have a sense of entitlement in Christian countries. Well, Muslims also have a sense of entitlement in Islamic countries. Oh wow, so makes it okay then. So they also have a sense of entitlement. Fixed. This is such a whataboutism. Oh yeah, okay, well, I'm against that as well. So stupid, right? Why, like, nobody else gets this level of privilege. Another point, that is a lot less intrusive than these Christians singing to an entire plane. Muslims, there being a section on a plane where you go and privately pray is a lot milder than the entire plane being forced to listen to your nonsense. Do you not see the difference? So many logical fallacies here. There was whataboutism, okay? There was false analogy, right? And this whole "I have no problem" is completely irrelevant. Okay, so I don't know what fallacy that is. It's red herring or whatever. Anyways, let's continue.
I haven't seen it in a while, but I have been on international flights where people got out their prayer rugs and prayed in the aisles.
Whataboutism, and also again, this is another whataboutism. And yeah, if you pray in an aisle, you're blocking. How do I go to the freaking wash? This is what. Okay, so this is also bad. Is this your defense? Is this your defense? How do I go and take a dump if you're blocking the aisle with your Islamic prayer? Get out the way. Get out the way. Right? So I don't like this either. Again, but this is still less, you know, imposing yourself upon the entire goddamn plane. But if I need to take a dump, you're forcing your religion on me. Your God is getting in the way of my crap, okay? What if I have diarrhea? God damn it, and you're in the way. Can I, like, bounce? Can I jump over you? Is that allowed? Would you allow me to just, I don't know. Can I just, what do I do? Okay. No, but yeah, no, this is not good. What is this your defense? This is also bad.
And how do you think this will end?
Okay, so for people who are just only listening to the audio version of this, it's the image, somebody tweeted an image of Muslims praying. One of them is in the washroom. I don't like that because, you know, I need to take a dump. You shouldn't be able to do that. And again, these are all praying in different parts of the plane that I, as an atheist, don't get to. What if I just want to sit there and, you know, I don't get to do this as an atheist on a plane. I don't like this. This is a privilege. Can Satanists do a you know, the satanic star? Can they draw that and put some like candles and do their own prayer on a piece of, like, if you have to be a Muslim to get this privilege, other people don't get to just take this much space in a plane and just do their thing for such a long time. People will ask them to get up. But if you're Muslim, all of a sudden you get to do this. I'm against this as well. But again, all of this is still, this is whataboutism again. But at the same time, this is still not being imposed, you know, forcing yourself on an entire plane. I'm against this as well. But the equivalent, if you want to find an alternative that is more equivalent to what the Christians did, you have to. I have had that experience where people were on a plane, the entire plane is like being doing the blessings to Muhammad. Okay, that takes like 5 seconds, but it's still pretty annoying when the entire plane is doing a salawat. Like they're saying, Allahumma salala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Okay? Because the plane landed successfully and we didn't crash. Apparently, you need to bless Muhammad and his family for that. And all, like, as a kid, you know, in an Islamic country who was an ex-Muslim, the secret ex-Muslim, that was annoying as okay, I can't swear. That was really annoying. That was extremely annoying. I didn't like that. Like, why is it, like, why is this being forced on me? Okay? It was pure cringe. Okay? So, but that was 5 seconds. Imagine that these, you know, I'm like, listen, I'm trying to watch my movie or play my video game or listen to my own song or listen to my audiobook. And these Christians think that they get to come and sing their song and now I can't. Okay. So, and it might be a small annoyance, but the bigger annoyance, okay. So let's say for 2 minutes, I can't listen to my audiobook. There's two things here. The 2 minutes that I lost, it's the smaller issue. The bigger issue is knowing that you live in a place where they get to do this. Like it's a bigger deal because it's an indication of a bigger problem about where you are in the society that you don't get to do these things and they can. It shows that you're a second class citizen. The de facto religion is Christianity, and they get to get away with things that you don't get to. So it's not just those 2 minutes of annoyance. It's about you learning that your position in society is below where religious, where the de facto, where people where the de facto religion is. And this is what these songs are meant for. This is what these places of prayer are meant for, is to insert yourself and show your dominance and show your authority and remind people that this is the dominant religion, whether if it's Islam or Christianity or Hinduism. The songs, the festivals, coming into public spaces and show your presence and force people to take a back seat or sit back, get out of your way or make room for you is to insert your dominance and remind people that if you're not a Hindu in a Hindu country, or if you're not Jewish in Israel, or if you're not a Muslim in an Islamic country, if you're not a Christian in a Christian country, then you're less than. You don't belong here. Or if you're here because we let you here, you're a second-class citizen. And you need to know your place. That's what this is meant for. Okay? Even this Islamic stuff. It's the same thing.
With multiple pictures of Muslims praying on planes. I am an American Muslim. I prayed during the flights many times. No one threw me out of the plane to put me in jail. America is not perfect, but America has the highest religious freedom in the world.
Okay, let's dissect this tweet. One piece at a time, okay? So this tweet is saying, I am an American Muslim, okay? So irrelevant. I prayed during the flights many times, okay? No one threw me out of the plane to put me in jail. I don't think Ilhan Omar, I don't know what... Okay, so you are an American Muslim who apparently can't read because Ilhan Omar did not say that when she asked, what do you think would happen? I don't see anywhere in the tweet she's saying that she thinks that she would be thrown out of the plane and put to jail because she prayed. Did she say that? Or did I miss it? Hi, oh, Music Guy is in live chat. Hi, Music Guy. Did Ilhan Omar say that? If she didn't say it, what are you responding to? Why is this tweet? Oh my God. This tweet got more than 2,000 likes. This is the argument that gets 2,000 likes. You're responding to an imaginary claim. This gets 2,000 likes. An imaginary claim that was not made by Ilhan Omar is responded to. And this is what people are cheering. Unbelievable. People are stupid. Okay? And then this person continues. So say, no one threw me out of the plane or put me in jail. Well, wow. Because we thought that's what you... Oh, my God. We thought if you pray on a plane as a Muslim, you go to jail. Thank you for clarifying that, sir. Thank you for enlightening us. I didn't know that. God damn it. Also, I have a question for this Muslim, American Muslim person, okay, which I cannot read his name. Kuzate Italy? I don't know what is that. It was Kuzate. I don't know why I said Italy. All right, whatever. He said, I prayed during the flights many times. Okay, you prayed. How is that even remotely close to what these Christians did? Did you have a prayer session that the entire plane had to tolerate? Or did you just sit on your seat and pray? Because that's a big difference. That's what those people, Christians, were doing. If you were sitting on your seat and praying, or you went into a corner and prayed, I'm sure the rest of the plane didn't have to tolerate your religion the same way all those people on the plane had to tolerate this nonsense from these Christians. That's a bit different, sir. All right, and then he continues, America is not perfect, but America has the highest religious freedom in the world. Well, I don't know if it's the highest, but it's pretty high up there. I agree with that. And what's your point? The fact that America has issues is good enough for people to complain. When you say America is not perfect, okay, America is not perfect. That's reason enough to complain, because there's room for improvement, and there will always be room for improvement. Always will be. So you don't say like, well, America has the highest religious freedom in the world. Well, guess what? It could get higher because it's not high enough. Even if it's the highest, which I don't know if it is, but if I'm pretty sure it's really high up there, it's not high enough at all. Not even remotely high enough. Even if it's the fact that it's better than everywhere else shows how backward everywhere else is. It doesn't mean that America has even gotten close to where it needs to be, even remotely. It's significantly far from where it needs to be. Very far. Way below where it needs to be. But it's better than everywhere else. Well, everywhere else is hell. Well, not everywhere else, but most other places are hell. So that's not a very high standard. Like, oh my God, United States is ahead of Iran, Saudi Arabia, India, Israel, Pakistan, Malaysia, Indonesia. Wow, United States is ahead of that. Wow, amazing. Here's a cookie. No. Religious freedom needs to be absolute, obviously. Not religious freedom, but religious freedom from religion. Guess what? In that department, America is very far behind where it needs to be. It's ahead of other countries. Very far. This proves it. Okay? This proves it. If other people, this would have been harassment if it was not religion. But because it's religion, we have to tolerate it. So we might have religious freedom, but we don't have freedom from religion as much as we should, even in America.
What's the takeaway in all of this? Simple.
What?
Victimhood sells. If you're not a real victim, or if you don't have enough real examples of how you're being victimized, not to worry. You don't need to go full Jussie Smollett to keep your badge of oppression. Every single day, things happen. Things that have nothing to do with you being oppressed.
Kind of like how these Christians apparently are victims right now, and they need your defense. Guys, you don't need to be the biggest, the community that you're defending, they don't need to be the biggest victims in the world for you to be able to speak about them, okay? You could talk about even the most minor levels of injustice. It's completely fine. If people compare the injustice that you're talking about to a higher level of injustice, okay, then tell them to always shut up about everything that they ever say ever again, because everything they talk about you could find an example of something that is a lot more extremely, you know, problematic than what they're talking about, okay? Because if we all wanted to just only talk about the most problematic thing in the world, then nobody should be talking about anything other than climate change and AI and artificial intelligence, okay? Literally, no other subject in the world other than these two should be talked about. If you just think like, oh, this is mild compared to other things, well, what you're talking about is also mild compared to something else, okay? So that's a ridiculous standard. This is an important issue, okay? I don't agree 100% with how Ilhan Omar was talking about it, because she made herself seem like a victim instead of talking about other people, okay? She could talk about other, you know, Muslims in a Christian country, or you could talk about Christians in a Muslim country, you know? What Christians in a Muslim country have to face, okay? You don't have to, as a Christian in America, you don't have to be like, oh, I'm oppressed as a Christian, because you're not. But you could talk about Christians in, I don't know, Egypt or in Iran, okay? So I'm not going to be like, oh, you're doing a victimhood narrative because you're a Christian, you're talking about Christians in Iran. They'd be oppressed, okay? So you talk about them, right? But even, actually, here's the thing. Even if you're talking about something minor, okay? Let's say you're a Christian in the United States where Christianity is the de facto religion and you have all sorts of privileges. All sorts of privileges as a Christian. But let's say an atheist was mean to you, very mean to you, because you happen to be a Christian. And you were like, I'm sad today because an atheist was rude to me simply because I'm a Christian. Guess what? You get to complain about that. You don't have to be a Christian in Saudi Arabia to be able to be allowed to complain about things, okay? You don't need to wait to be that level of oppression, okay? I would agree with you. Like, oh my God, that atheist was mean to you just because you're a Christian? That's rude. You don't deserve that. I'm sorry that you had to go through that. Oh, it's okay. I'm not going to be like, oh my God, you're such a victimhood narrative. Poor Christians. No, you don't deserve that. Okay, if you complain about the stealing Christmas, okay, you shut up. Okay, you're playing into the, you know, it's so amazing that, you know, Christians play the victim of narrative more than most people as an average, simply because that's part of their religion, to be the victims. It's a sign. It's amazing that Christians are like, oh my God, you're playing the victimhood card. It's part of the Christian religion that if you be the victim, you must be on the right side. So that has given Christians a lot of motivations to always look for reasons why they're the victims, okay? So if anybody plays the victim narrative the most, it's Christians. And that's why you see people, they constantly complain about, like, I don't know, war on Christmas and crap like that, right? But just because they're losing their privilege, they think they're being oppressed. But that aside, I think those are not legitimate. Those complaints. But your complaint, even if you have the best life, even if you're like rich and have the best life and people love you, but you go to a coffee shop and somebody realizes you're a Christian and just swears at you, even if that's a mild thing relative to what other Christians have to deal with, I don't think it's wrong for you to complain about it. I'm not just saying you have the right to complain it, because obviously you do. I don't even think it's wrong. You should be able to complain about minor things, even if they're wrong. You can complain about it. You're completely justified. I would even agree with you. Why would somebody be rude to you just because you're a Christian? So this whole standard of like, oh my God, you're complaining about minor things. Yeah. If they're wrong, what's wrong? If it's a wrong thing that is like not that big of a deal compared to other people, it's still wrong. Anyway, this is how you improve. This is how you make good things better, by complaining and trying to improve it.
Your job as a pretend victim is to twist those things into more evidence of your oppression.
Well, like, I'm pretty sure there was more twisting done today on your behalf, David Wood.
People are so divided right now that if you say...
I don't see what twisting has been done here. I mean, her point is still true. I just don't agree with the... What she was saying was completely true. Like, if a Muslim family prays on a praying like the way those Christians did, the backlash would have been huge. She didn't twist it to make it seem like she would be arrested. You and the people that you highlighted, they twisted it to make it seem like she was saying that she would be arrested. Who's doing the twisting? Her point is completely accurate. I just don't, even if what she was saying was true, I would have preferred if she wasn't inserting herself and she was using other people. Not because it would make it more true, but because it would just be more political, right? Not to act like a victim. But what she said was completely true. What you were saying is not true.
Help, help, I'm being oppressed. Everyone who's already on your side.
Did she say, help, help, I'm being oppressed? Making stuff up. You're making stuff up and you're saying she's twisting stuff. You're twisting her words.
We'll join you in a chorus, singing your praises like Christians, singing about Jesus on a plane. Everyone who's not on your side will mock you, but guess what? You can use their mockery as more evidence that you're being oppressed. Follow this simple method, and you too can enjoy every privilege that the modern world has to offer while still moaning and wailing about being abused and persecuted.
David Wood, if you are an honest man, make the same commentary about your own community, constantly crying about being oppressed in the United States of America, okay? Make a video, say, highlight, please, David Wood, please highlight all the Christians in the United States who think that LGBT, you know, happy holidays, you know, secular, rise of secularism, all of these are signs of Christians being oppressed. Please, don't be biased and say that what you're saying applies to them as well, okay? Because I will respect you so much if you highlight that one day, okay? Please do that, all right? See how, like, us at Atheist Republic, for example, and at Secular Jihadists, we constantly shine a light on issues within the atheist community. So given that you have such a big problem with the victimhood narrative, and given how prevalent, how common this attitude of, you know, Christian snowflakes, that they see oppression oozing out of every, you know, raining, you know, upon them and oozing out of every wall and every, like, it's just everything they see, just like people not accepting their religion, people disagreeing with them, people just questioning God, everything is a sign of anti-Christian oppression, right? Them not being to be bigoted towards trans people and gay people, them not being able to force their religious teaching upon children, all of this being a sign of them being oppressed. Can you, please, can you show us, can you also expose them and tell us that they're also doing the same tactics? Like listen to what David Wood just said and see if, would you say that about Christians as well? Just one more time.
More evidence that you, but guess Jesus on a plane.
Look at this.
Everyone who's not on your side will mock you, but guess what? You can use their mockery as more evidence that you're being oppressed.
Oh my God, yes, you're so right. I've seen that so much. You know, when you mock Christianity, a lot of Christians come and say that this is a sign of them being oppressed. This is so true. But I wonder if they would apply that to the Christian community. Music guy in the live chat is saying Jews have more claim to complain, but they hardly ever. I don't know if we could talk about Jewish people or any group of people collectively. That's why I'm saying it's common within Christian communities. I'm trying not to talk about Christians as a collective. If I do, please correct me. But I don't think when you say Jews have more claim to complain. We should say a lot of Jews. We shouldn't say all of Jews, right? Because a lot of people from every religion, they have it very good, right? and a lot of them are being oppressed. Again, we can't talk about Muslims, Christians. Like, a lot of Christians have it really, really good, and a lot of Christians are being oppressed. A lot of Jewish people have it very, very, very good, and a lot of them being oppressed. Atheists, everybody. So we can't just like talk about an entire community of people as if they're all just the same people. Okay. We have to treat people as individuals. This is the whole point of promoting individualism rather than collectivism.
Follow this simple method and you too can enjoy every privilege that the modern world has to offer while still moaning and wailing about being abused and persecuted.
Yeah, and again, the religious communities, especially Christian communities, again, hashtag not all, have mastered this, right? So I don't know what you're complaining about, because this is, nobody has benefited from this whole victimhood narrative more than the Christian community.
It's a brave new world.
Anyways, that was a whole bunch of nonsense. Anyways, okay, I hope you enjoyed this. Please make sure the audio version of this, when this come out, please try to join our Patreon community so you could watch the video version of this and you could actually be in the live chat. So if you have disagreements with me or if you want to correct me on something, you could do that while I'm recording this so that your commentary will be on the video and on the audio when it comes out. Anyways, thank you guys, and I'll talk to you on the next episode. Bye.